Thanks, Father, for your word. Lord, we're grateful that you demonstrated your love to us by not only coming and dwelling among us, laying your life down for us, but then sending us Holy Spirit and sending us written word. Pray that we can follow written word and Holy Spirit appropriately in ways that will bring good Holy Spirit fruit everywhere we go. Pray that the weeds that we seem to always want to propagate will be overcome by the good of your Holy Spirit fruit. Thanks so much, Jesus, that you are our righteousness. You are our life. You are the way. And we just trust so much, Lord, that as we lean into you and encourage one another, that we can all grow in your goodness and in your grace. Thanks that we can pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. If you have a pew Bible, we're starting on page 1781 for a few words today and then turning the page quickly. So we're in the book of Galatians. Yeah, if you don't have a pew Bible, that's kind of important information. Book of Galatians, and we're in chapter 6, starting with verse 7 today. The sermon is not about snowing, but sowing. And what we plant, what we end up spreading out there in the world around us and in our own lives is going to come around, and then we will be able to reap. And there's a lot of principles of sowing and reaping that I'd like to talk about today. But I just would like to trust that as we look at this, we recognize this isn't just about farming, but it's about our lives. It's about how God works through us and in us. Paul has been admonishing and rebuking some the churches in Galatia for listening to the wrong messages. Some people had come and tried to lay the law back on them, and he says, "No, you're free, and you need to live by the Spirit, walk by the Spirit. The way you're going to keep the entire law and not have to worry about all those rules and have that burden on you is just love your neighbor as yourself. And if you love your neighbor as yourself, the entire law is fulfilled in that." So he's trying to really simplify their lives for them. And he continues with that admonition, but it starts out in verse 7. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. And I think that we deceive ourselves so often. We think that if we just try our best, everything's going to work out. You know what? My best is never going to meet the level that is required for holiness, for righteousness, for salvation, for helping those people around me. If I give them my best, I'm shortchanging them. And if I can get beyond my best, which is a very simple thing to do, he's explained that through chapter 5 about how we don't walk to the flesh, we walk to the Spirit. We don't work the works of the flesh, but we get the fruit of the Spirit. And so if we recognize that it's the Spirit working through us and in us, is what's going to bring us salvation, is what's going to bring us a positive outcome for our lives, even when things don't look like they're going well. Like if you're a seed and you're laying around in some dirt and it's wet and it's cold and you're just not feeling like anything's happening, well, that's what seeds do all winter. And then in the springtime, in the right time, in that due season, we start getting the beauty that comes out of that. And sometimes our lives kind of feel like we're just a seed that's being dumped on and nothing good's happening. And yet, if we don't grow weary in doing good, there's a promise in Scripture here, there will be a positive outcome. There will be good fruit. There will be a harvest. So he's saying, you know, don't be deceived. Now, we can be deceived by ourselves. We can also be deceived by other people. And I think Paul here is reminding the Galatian churches that these false teachers that had come in and tried to give them a different gospel, which is no gospel at all. It isn't good news that you have to be burdened down by the law. It isn't good news that you have to be really religious to get saved. That's bad news. And he's saying, don't be deceived by their message. Don't be deceived by the falsehood that's coming in there. So we can be deceived from within or from without. And then he says, God cannot be mocked. You know, God knows our hearts. God knows everything about us. He knows what we need before we ask Him. There's so many things that we just kind of take for granted that God does for us, and we forget to be thankful, which is kind of a wonderful thing in the month of November to start reminding ourselves about, is this whole Thanksgiving thing. But, you know, God won't be mocked. He cannot be mocked. We may think that we can fool Him. We may think that we can try to do things our way and not follow God's leading. But He won't be mocked. He knows exactly what's going on. You can't pretend your way into heaven. You can't pretend your way into God's good graces. It's something He freely gives to us. And so when we try to trust in ourselves, when we try to, and this has been the message clear through Galatians, when we try to do it in the flesh, do it in our own strength, we're mocking God. We're saying, God, don't need you. I got this. And it's, God cannot be mocked. And it's all going to come out. The last part of verse 7 here. A man reaps what he sows. That's just a flat out statement. It's like, you know, the law of gravity. If you throw something up or if you jump off of a high place, what's going to happen? Gravity takes hold. And a man reaps what he sows. In Obadiah, a tiny little book in the Old Testament, it talks about how some nations had been extremely cruel. And then in the middle of that book it says, you know, but the way you've treated other nations is how you're going to be treated. The golden rule is do unto others as you would have them do unto you. Well, others will do unto you the way you do unto them. If we keep doing wrong to everybody, it may not be that exact person that comes back and does wrong to us, but somebody will. It's going to come around. You've all heard what goes around comes around, all that kind of stuff. Those are biblical principles. What we are going to reap is going to be based on what kind of seeds have we planted? Where are we sowing? What are we sowing? And how is that working out? Now, there's some principles of sowing and reaping. First thing is, you know, Scripture is consistent on this, and I think we all know it just from common sense. You're going to sow according to the kind of what, you're going to reap according to the kind of what you sow. If you plant some squash seeds, don't expect an apple tree to come up. Don't expect anything else. You know what you're going to get from what you put in the ground. Now, sometimes, again, go back to the first part of verse 7, do not be deceived. Sometimes we think we're sowing good seed, but it's been tainted, it's been messed with or altered. And we start doing things in our own strength. That's like the GMO seed that you want to avoid. You know, all of these genetically altered seeds that are doing a whole lot of terrible things to sorry about if this sounds too political to some of you, but doing a lot of terrible things to our food source. I went to Evergreen State College, so for those of you that don't like liberal colleges, forgive me. Evergreen State College, Tacoma campus, and one of my professors, Dr. Willie Parsons, made way more money in the summer months than he made all year teaching school at a state university. He made way more money altering wheat seeds. He was a genetic scientist. And he would for a couple months, but he then taught throughout the year on the ethics of biologically altering things, and what does it mean, and how is this going to affect everybody? And he wrestled with that every year because he knew that he had this good job, and he thought he was doing good things there. One of the things he was really working on the most was trying to come up with a strain of wheat that would be resistant to all of the different molds and bugs and the plight that would come on wheat fields, because you want to be able to get a larger yield for your crop. And because of people like Dr. Parsons, we as a nation have been able to produce food for the world. And where you might have been able to get a bushel per acre, now you can get 20 bushels per acre. So there's a lot of positive things have come out of this alteration of the seeds.
100 bushels.
But yeah, or more. And you know, they just keep on coming up with ways to do that. But there's a downside to it too, and you kind of have to look at that. What have we changed that's going to cause more problems with health? What have we done? So, you know, and I noticed as I went on as a teacher, each year we were finding more and more students were having allergies that didn't seem to be explainable by any other method other than the food source has changed. And there were a lot of other things going on. So, you know, you look at the ethics of this. We're helping more people can be fed, but now you've got another downside. Now, Dr. Parsons and others that I know, we've had these discussions, and he talked about how he also is going to trust that science will be able to come up with a cure for whatever problems it comes up with. So there is that side. The difficulty is, if we're trying to trust in our own strength, we can go too far with something and think, well, I can fix that later. I can do this. I can make it better. And we push and push with not just, I'm not talking now about just farming, but in our own lives. We think that this one more time won't hurt. This one thing won't make a difference. A man reaps what he sows. God's not going to be mocked about that. Let's not be deceived. Verse 8, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Let's stop there. How many of us recognize that in our own lives? Things that we've said or done that we kind of knew were just for us, and we didn't care about anybody else around us. And we thought, that's the right thing to do. We watch out for number one. We've been taught that all of our lives. You know, take care of yourselves. Have good self-esteem. Do this, do that. And you know, other people, that's their problem. Well, there's some truth to that. You know, people do need to mind their own business and work with their hands. But you kind of look at, okay, when I'm constantly just doing things for the flesh and I forget that you know, I was created to give glory to God. So if I'm just doing this for myself in my own strength, it's going to come back at me. The destroyer will find a way to twist that. And even things that I think are good for me become bad for me. And I think most of us have had things in our lives where we do it to excess, where it might not have been a bad thing in balance, but we do too much, whether we're talking about eating or other habits. I mean, going to bed too late. You know, there's all kinds of things that we keep thinking, this won't catch up with me. Well, there's a point where it catches up with you. And if we are going to sow to the flesh, if we're just going to say, well, I want this. You know, it's for my pleasure. It's for me. It's going to come back. If that's the only thing we're living for is our own personal happiness and comfort, we're going to reap destruction. We'll reap destruction in our children because we didn't take good enough care of them and they were watching us and thinking, that's how you live your life. Okay, I'll do that too. We'll reap destruction in our friendships where it's like, I'm too busy for friends. Okay, well, then they're going to be too busy for you on that one time where you need them or would like to have them. You know, we find ways to ruin relationships because we're selfish in our marriages. What's the biggest problem in every marriage? You know, people can say it's money or finances or whatever, or it's, you know, they come up with lists of things that are problems. It's pretty much selfishness. It's like, I want things my way and you want things your way, and it's not the same way all the time. Or I'm going to try to pretend that I want it your way so that I can get something back in return. You know, wrong motivations. And then relationships, it doesn't take very much of a little wedge to get in there to start splitting things up. If you want to split a log, don't take a big old maul, a hammer, and start pounding on it, thinking that's going to split the log. You take a sharp edge, and you let it cut through there. And once you've broken in, then you can wedge it apart. And the same thing with relationships. We oftentimes, with our words, with our actions, just a little dig here or there, all in good fun, sort of, can break relationships. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So the opposite of destruction, the opposite of death, is eternal life. And if we sow to the Spirit, we walk by the Spirit like he talked about, we live by the Spirit, we recognize that it's Holy Spirit fruit that's going to be what is going to change our lives and the people's lives around us. That love, that joy, peace, gentleness, faithfulness, kindness, long-suffering. There's so many things that we recognize those are good. Every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father above. It's all from God. So we look and we say, okay, I'm going to sow to the Spirit. You know, where do we invest? And we can talk about, you know, time investment, resource investment, money investment, all of those things. Where do we invest? Are we investing to the Spirit? I've noticed in my older sister's life that as she's gotten older, she's recognized that some of the things she used to think were important aren't important. And things that she knows to be important now, she's investing in those things. She's giving more to missionaries, and she's helping more with neighbors and friends and people that are in need. And she's continually demonstrating to me that even as we get older, we can move from glory to glory. She wasn't doing bad before, but she's doing better now. And we can continue to grow in goodness. We can grow because one of the other principles of sowing is we're going to reap more than we sow. If you thought that you were just going to get one kernel of corn out of a kernel of corn that you planted, how many of you would waste your time with that kernel of corn? Because the reality is there's going to be some birds or some bugs or something's going to come and eat some of them and wreck them, and then there's going to be some on hard soil, on rocks. And you know, when you try to plant and you know that not all of it's going to come up, you're hoping for a really good investment on that one seed. You want to get ears and ears and ears of corn from one corn kernel. And the same thing, you know, that the law is we reap more than we sow. Well, it's the same thing in our lives. If we're kind, consistently spreading kindness, it's going to come back to us 100-fold, 30-fold, 60-fold, at least, whatever. And if we're angry and mean and bitter, it's going to come back to us. If we're selfish and only living for ourselves and thinking that that's the way we can do things, you know, we're working on that flesh satisfaction, we're reaping destruction. Because it doesn't really help to put bad seed in the ground. You ever notice dandelions?
Beautiful yellow flower.
Beautiful yellow flower that some nice people brought out from the Midwest and thought that would be great to plant out here. You know what? We reap more than we sow. One dandelion, how many seeds do you see flying off of those things when they start blowing?
That's fairy dust.
Yeah, fairy dust, yeah. And it can take over a yard pretty quickly, a hillside. We reap more than we sow. So that's one of the principles. We reap in a different season than we sow also. I think that's something to think about. You know, we oftentimes, I've thought this myself and I've heard it from others. Somebody gives some really excellent advice, and the response is, well, I tried that. Tried that and it didn't work. Okay? But what I'm saying is, it didn't work for me right now because I want immediate gratification. We all kind of want that microwave spirituality. I was nice to my wife yesterday, and she didn't return it in favor. So, you know what? I'm not going to bother with that again. Didn't work. It sounds silly when you say it out loud, but we think those things. You know, they're not worth it. Tried that with them before. You know what? We can keep on sowing good seed again and again and again, and we might not see the results for a long, long time. We're going to be able to reap in a different season than we sow. We also reap in proportion to what we sow. If you just sow a little bit, you know, you've got a small little plot in the backyard and you let your neighbors use that garden plot and they put a few seeds in, they're going to get a small return. If you got a stepdad-in-law that is planting rows and rows of corn and he ends up with acres of garden, guess who's getting the bigger crop at the end of the season? We're going to reap in proportion to what we sow, too. So we can think again, you know, how much would we like back in return? And I'm not saying, you know, prosperity gospel, give and give and you'll get back. I mean, that's not where I'm going with this. But just the law of gravity, the law of sowing and reaping, how much you sow is going to be proportionally returned to you. Now, if we can go out and, you know, every one of us is going to sow some weed seed. I mean, let's face it. We make mistakes in our lives. We sin. We do wrong things. Okay? If we increase that by, like, hating ourselves because we just blew it and now we're going to give ourselves negative thoughts and we don't think anything good's going to come of this, so we just give up, then we've compiled and now we've added to that. And And then when somebody says something to you, you just snap back at them because you know that nothing good's going to come. And you can get that and I've been guilty of this during my life. Kathy will attest to that, that pessimism can kick in. And you start thinking, you know, the whole world is terrible. Everybody's bad. Nothing's good. And we can't fix anything, so why bother trying? And you go down that path, guess what? You're going to proportionally get negative fruit. And yet, you know, we can say, well, yep, I messed that up. We really need to pluck that weed out of there. I overate yesterday, but I don't have to overeat today. And we move forward, and there's a lot of grace and love and forgiveness from Christ and hopefully in the body with each other. And then more important than that sometimes is forgiving ourselves. How many of us are pretty good about forgiving other people, but not so good about forgiving ourselves? Now, if we can't forgive ourselves, we're saying God is not big enough to fix my problems. I'm bigger than He is. I can create more problems than God can fix. Well, that's a problem in itself. So let's sow some faith. Faithfulness is part of the fruit of the Spirit, right? If we're going to sow to the Spirit, that means we're going to just trust, have faith, move forward. Yep, blew it. Thank you, Lord. I turn that over to you. You covered it. Okay, we're done. Let's move on. He might say, yeah, we're sort of done, but you do need to go back to that person you offended. Okay, we'll do that then. Because then you can sow some more good seed. Have you ever had somebody apologize to you that really kind of changed your heart? It's like, whoa. That's nice. They recognize that they hurt me. That helps. More good seed. Let's keep sowing so that we're going to eventually be able to reap a much larger in-kind harvest. Verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good. For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. That's one of the problems. Again, you know, we can become weary. Sometimes we can become weary because we just aren't taking good care of ourselves and we're not eating right and we're not sleeping appropriately and we're rushing around and we get weary. Okay? But how many of us get weary in doing good? We can't we? You did some good stuff. And, well, they weren't even grateful. They didn't even send me a note. You know what? I apologize. I probably didn't send most of you notes for the good things you've done to me. I'm not real good with notes. Let's not grow weary in doing good. You did good. Okay, keep doing good. Don't get tired of it. Don't think it's a chore to do good. Even, you know, coming to church, how many honest have had a tough time? Some Sunday mornings, it's like, do I really want to get up and go there? Don't grow weary in doing good. Because, I mean, this is a pretty beautiful promise here, isn't it? At the proper time, in due season, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. You know, that whole, to please the Spirit, you're going to be able to reap eternal life. This is a pretty short life we're living. Even if you make it to 110, it's short in comparison to eternity. Let's not grow weary in doing good, because in that right season, in the proper time, there's going to be a harvest. Therefore, as we have opportunity, as long as we're alive, we have opportunity, right? As we have opportunity, let us do good to those people that are really nice to you and you know you can get stuff back from them. Right? Is that what it says? Hopefully somebody's following along. No, it doesn't say that. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people. To all people. Especially to those who belong to the family of believers. Brothers and sisters taking care of each other, especially the family. But as we have opportunity, to all people. How are unbelievers, people that are not followers of the way, followers of Jesus Christ, how are they going to know that our life is different than theirs? I can point out a lot of people in town that are doing good things. They don't come to church and they don't claim Christ. They're doing good things. Okay? And I'm not saying it's a competition or a contest. Who can we outdo them or anything? But I know, had a conversation with some people this last week that I see them as extremely kind and loving and generous. And yet when they started talking about who they're kind and loving and generous to, it's a limited list. Now, some of that is as you have opportunity, but some of it is as you don't have grudges. Somebody hurt me, somebody wronged me. Well, they're off my list. And Scripture talks about how we're supposed to love our enemies. So how can we demonstrate to the world and to ourselves and to each other that we really have Holy Spirit? Because in the flesh, I'm going to do that. I'm going to say, okay, here's somebody hurt me. I'll check them off the list. I'm going to do good to everybody except them because I tried that and it didn't work. I'm going to do everything that I can to avoid that person or to ignore that person. But it says, therefore, as we have opportunity, if we're still alive, we have opportunity. Let's just say that right there. Let us do good to all people. Now, not every single person in the world is your responsibility. But the people that God's placed in our lives, we have a choice. Are we going to do good or not do good? Do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. This isn't the only place in Scripture where he tells us not to grow weary in doing good. Okay? Okay, and we got a demonstration going on right now too. So, thank you, Lord. 2 Thessalonians again says, don't grow weary in doing good. You know, this is a thematic thing in Scripture. And if we're warned that many times, there's probably a tendency in our lives to think, yeah, I'm just tired of doing good. I'm going to limit where I'm good. But it says to all people. Yeah. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Thanks that it's practical, that it's real, and it's something that we can all lean on and use each and every day. Thanks for your word, Lord. Amen.